You're listening to Wellness Wednesday, a show about health and wellness in the Yukon-Kuskokwim Delta. This week, diabetes control and prevention with YKHC. Good morning to the Yukon-Kuskokwim Delta, and thank you for tuning in to KYUK's Wellness Wednesday, with this next segment brought to you by Yukon-Kuskokwim Health Corporation's Diabetes Prevention and Control Department. My name is Emery, and I'm an outreach specialist here within the Diabetes Department, and I've been with the Diabetes Department coming up on 3 years in October. If you would like to give any suggestions on to what topics related to diabetes, please email diabetes_program@ykhc.org. And I would be very happy to try and bring them in to the next show. We currently have the show airtime once a month on these Wellness Wednesdays, the third Wellness Wednesday of the month. And I'd also like to shout out that our second annual Rock Hunt has been going on the month of September. This is an event where we encourage people to find ways to paint a rock, which promotes stress relief, and then get out and hide your painted rock, which promotes exercise. To show participation, please snap a photo and send it to the Diabetes Prevention and Control email at diabetes_program@ykhc.org. If any of our listeners aren't familiar with this season, moose hunting around the Bethel area typically starts the first week of September and runs through a few weeks or so in this Bethel area. And then speaking about places throughout the YK Delta, a lot of the indigenous people fill this meat with their freezers for lots of good reasons too. It's a traditional food and it saves tons of money compared to buying the few pounds of processed and packaged beef at the store, or just to name a few reasons. As far as the specifics on learning more about moose hunting openings and places where you can hunt and when, please refer to Alaska Department Fish and Game for that information. But I'd like to just take a step back and talk about traditional foods too. What are they? Traditional foods are whole foods, meaning that it consists of one ingredient. It has zero genetic modifications. There are no added preservatives or sugars, harsh chemicals, flavorings, or dye, or really any additives for that reason. In other words, traditional foods do not come from huge production factories miles and miles away. Here in the YK Delta, there is a wide variety of traditional food and many ways to combine and prepare them. There's game meat like moose and bird, which are excellent sources of protein. Fish like the beloved king salmon, and even the smaller fish like blackfish and smelt, just to name a few, which are also excellent sources of protein, plus vitamin D and more. There are many types of wild berries, like salmon berries or more. They're also called cloud berries outside of the YK Delta. Blue and black berries, which are excellent sources of antioxidants and vitamins. Numerous types of greens that will grow all over the land, like fiddleheads to sourdough, that hold natural sources of carbohydrates. And ayuk tea leaves, which make tea, otherwise known as Labrador tea. And those are just naming a small number of what you can find here. And you can see that there's so much of a healthy variety in traditional diet. It contains many nutrient-dense foods, and when compared to a Western diet, it is far more healthier. And when I say Western diet, I'm referring to foods like flour, sugar, saturated fats, pasta, white rice, sugar-sweetened beverages, and even alcohol. There are many publications that have backed this thought, as did CDC in their publication of Traditional Foods of Native America. Following a predominantly traditional native diet shows to have lower risks for developing metabolic diseases. Examples of metabolic diseases are diabetes type 2, heart failure, stroke, and obesity, just to name a few. This rings to be true, as typically there isn't all the added sugar and all those other harmful additives in the native diet. Furthermore, the Yupik culture and many other indigenous cultures believe that not only does the food that we hunted, gathered, and harvested from the land fill our stomachs, but our spirits and souls as well. It's our soul food, because there is so much value and respect for the bountiful land that surrounds us. It's definitely high up on the list of what the Yupik culture values. Here is a song that many are familiar with that talks about blessing the hunters before they go out to gather and hunt their food. This version was written by Brentina Pabungluk Chinar and is sung by the indigenous band Bumyo.
You am a
Kaniyu ayaha
Again, such a great song, and I was wanting to tie it into the conversation this morning that traditional foods being bountiful in many ways, tis the season for moose, as I have said, so let's look at that closer. Moose roam free throughout the land, so they eat a 100% natural diet. They don't have anyone modifying their way of life to either benefit their meat product once butchered for consumption. And with that being said, the nutrition that we consume for moose meat and other edible pieces are 100% natural and organic. Another tidbit of information, and this might sound weird, but we also know when the moose was killed, so we know it's at its peak freshness when prepping to store away. Reading from the USDA database, which is a database that gives nutritional information on known/studied foods, moose meat contains partial servings of protein, iron, magnesium, potassium, and a few other vitamins and nutrients. What isn't in moose? Carbohydrates or sugars? Absolutely none. It is a clean and very lean meat. Lean meat meaning that it is high in protein. In the culture here, there is also traditions and or rituals followed when hunting and harvesting moose. One of them I know that our family and many, many other families here still follow is that when someone catches their first moose, it is completely given away. Everything from the meat, the ribs, heart and liver, tongue and nose, and the hooves. There isn't much or any part at all of the moose that's either edible or useful that goes to waste. And this is to pay respect for the life the moose has lived and the life that it will provide even after death. On the other hand, most processed beef at the grocery store may have been frozen for a little while before or after getting butchered to then finally getting packaged and shipped out here to rural Alaska. Most beef in the grocery stores are also fed a processed or modified diet plan to either boost the flavor or quality of the meat or for really any other reason. This next fact blew my mind. We know that it's natural for meat to start turning brown or to start turning color when introduced to oxygen. But did you know that within the meat industry, there are some meat packaging processes that use modified atmosphere processing to help address that? This means the very air that the meat is being packaged in is modified, meaning that certain gases are released into the air to help the meat stay red/ to help the meat look fresher for a longer period of time. It is regulated, but if you're wondering where I got this information from, please refer to the U.S. Department of Agriculture and the North American Meat Institute. All in all, there's lots that goes on for the packaged meat at the grocery store, not to mention the price tag at them at the store. To go further about processed foods, there have been numerous studies on how highly processed foods have a negative impact on our health. Let's start off with the differences we can see with the naked eye. Processed and prepackaged foods are usually found in the middle of store aisles, packed in plastic packaging with long shelf lives. Traditional foods are found out into the country or nature and do not have any sort of plastic packaging or any artificial or fake packaging at all, just out there as is in their most organic and natural form. They also have much shorter shelf lives as they start to decompose if not preserved right away. When such processed foods go through so much modification and packaging, the nutritional value is mostly lost during the process. I've heard the calories from these modified and highly processed foods get referred to as empty calories. Why? Because they provide short bursts of energy, meaning that your blood sugar will rapidly rise and then rapidly fall. And there's little to no nutritional value to maintain our health. Furthermore, highly processed foods usually have too much sugar, salt, or saturated fats. What's wrong with too much sugar, salt, and highly processed fats? A diet high in those have been linked to increased risks to heart disease, stroke, type 2 diabetes, obesity, and other health issues. As if that isn't bad on itself, Being Alaska Native, which is most of our population out in the YK Delta, puts you at even more of a risk of developing these health issues when combined with a bad diet. What are other risk factors in the chance of developing diabetes type 2? Age. Being over the age of 40 years old puts you at an increased risk for developing diabetes. Ethnicity. As previously mentioned, being Alaska Native or American Indian or African American, Hispanic, or Latino, you have an increased risk for developing diabetes. And many factors, including food insecurity and access, colonization or the spread of Western values, generational trauma, and many others play roles into this. Gender. If you were born male, you have a higher chance of developing diabetes. Pregnancy. If you have had gestational diabetes or diabetes during your pregnancy, you're at an increased risk to developing diabetes. Family. If you know or even don't know that your immediate family member has had been diagnosed with diabetes, you have an increased risk. Physical activity. If you are not physically active, you are also placed at an increased risk. Weight. If you're overweight or obese, you also have an increased risk of developing diabetes. This is why it is important to be mindful of what we fuel our bodies with to help combat these metabolic diseases, giving us a chance to live longer and to live a healthful life. What does a healthful diet consist of? Well, let's start off with the five food groups. In no particular order, here are the five food groups. Protein. This can be found in game meat, such as moose or birds, as well as beef or red meat, as well as in canned or dried lentils, various beans like black pinto canili, garbanzo, and kidney beans, fish or salmon, tuna and anchovies, nuts, and more. Protein helps the body maintain, build, and contribute to the function and structure of your body's tissues and organs. Vegetables. There are many types of veggies, whether you get them in their fresh, frozen, or canned form, they are all stored at peak freshness. Sometimes in canned vegetables, though, there's added salt. Try to rinse out the can and strain before you consume to eliminate the extra added salt. Fruit. There are also many types of fruits. Dried fruits have a lot of fiber, and fiber contributes to regulating your blood sugars. Grains. These contain carbohydrates and other needed nutrients that your body needs to convert into sugar for energy use. Example of grains are brown rice, whole wheat bread, and other unrefined grains. Dairy. Dairy is a good source of protein and calcium, which helps maintain and strengthen your bones. Try to aim for low-fat or fat-free dairy products to be mindful of added fats. If you would like more information on the five food groups or the important role that your diet plays in your health, please let your primary care provider know. YKHC has dietitians readily available to meet with you. This morning, I was speaking about how a traditional diet is far more healthful in many ways compared to the Western diet. I would also now like to speak about just a few services that the diabetes department has to offer. Pre-pandemic, the Diabetes Prevention and Control Department was offering a once-monthly support group. This landed on the second Thursday of the month from 6 to 7 p.m. It was a nice place where people with diabetes or people who support those with diabetes would be able to just come and talk and see how's it going, to either learn or lean onto one another about how they live and cope with diabetes. Since the pandemic had started, we started offering support group virtually, though have also just recently changed from when and how we offer that. Rather than having a set date and time to talk about diabetes, we are now offering support through diabetes by calling the main line at 907-543-6133. You may speak with myself, me, Emery, or your diabetes case managers. Again, that number to contact to ask about support group or just asking about support, please call 907-543-6133. I would be more than happy to set some time aside to chat. We think it's super important to continue to be able to offer support and or guidance during this time, especially if you need to continue to monitor your diabetes. Did you know that the Diabetes Department has a mini grant called the Community Garden Activity Award? What is this and who may apply? The Community and Activity Garden Award is a mini grant that our department has to offer for organizations to apply for. An an organization is allowed to request for up to $5,000. What's the criteria? The organization must be either building or hosting something for the community, or be doing something that relates to promoting a healthy or healthier life. It is preferable that the organization be local or within the YK Delta, which serves the Alaska Native population. Some examples of what we've helped fund are building community gardens, enabling communities to gather the needed seed starters or the soil, pots, and other items to kick off their garden. We've helped fund either starting or improving a community mini fitness center with gym and workout equipment such as exercise bikes and free weights. We've also funded some of the school sports groups by providing funds to get new jerseys or basketballs. And as mentioned, it has to be community and community health oriented. If awarded the grant, there are follow-up forms to complete in order to verify that the funds were used properly. If you think you and or your organization would be interested or have any questions on to learn more about the Community and Activity Garden Award, please contact myself, Emery, at the Diabetes Department at 907-543-6133. You may also email diabetes_program@ykhc.org. If you'd like to view the application online, it may be accessible at YKHC's website at ykhc.org under Our Services on the top right, scrolling down to find Community Health and Wellness, and there you'll find the diabetes area and the downloadable application. Again, please feel free to contact myself if you have any questions about this award. And that brings us to the end of our show. And this was Diabetes Prevention and Control Department's contribution to KYUK's Wellness Wednesday. Again, if you'd like to request or ask any questions to bring up during our next segment, please feel free to email diabetes_program@ykhc.org. I hope everyone has a fantastic day and please stay safe.
Thank you for listening to Wellness Wednesday, a show about health and wellness in the Yukon-Kuskokwim Delta. Visit us anytime at kyuk.org or tune in wherever you listen every Wednesday at 10 a.m. right here on KYUK.